Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, for this special afternoon show with our special guest, Deborah Oakland, who is joining us from sunny California. And we're going to talk about living in courage, changing your movie to change your life. And a lot of the stories and tips that Deborah is going to share is from her debut international bestseller, Change Your Movie, Change Your Life, Seven Real Concepts for Courageous Change. Just so excited for you to be part of our family. If you're new or you've been with us, you know that you can follow us easily to get updates. If you have a free Blog Talk Radio page, click the blue button on the left and you'll get updates when we have our shows. You can listen to them 24/7 free. And you can also get our newsletter at debscott.com. Sign up for the monthly Mind Vitamin News and you'll get all of the updates that we have for you. Living in courage. I love this whole theme, and you're going to love this lady because in 4 years, and I'm talking 4 short years, this woman had lost her 21-year-old son, a baby girl in the 8th month of her pregnancy, 2 brothers, and a lot of other struggles. She knows the importance of living in courage. She has compassion. She has real life experience, and that's what she's written about in her book. What we're going to learn today is how to empower our life, to look at things in a fresh new way, to take control of our life. And as Deborah says in many of her quotes, and this is one of my favorites, you have a voice, you have a choice. There's a spiritual epiphany to understand what you want in your life, what you don't want in your life. But we have to take that and put it into action to be able to have our goals achieved. You're all worthy of creating a life you love. Deborah Oakland is here to share her shine with us. It's a privilege and honor to have my friend, international best-selling author, Deborah Oakland. Good afternoon, my friend. Good morning for you.
Good afternoon to you, Deb, that's me, Deborah. There's so many Debs everywhere that we know.
Listen, oh, I have a friend in California. Everywhere. I was in medical sales with her years and years ago, and she still calls me Debster. Now, why that is, I have no idea.
My contributing author calls me Debster.
There you go.
Yeah.
Debster, Debster.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Debster. All good. It's all good. It's all good. Well, you know, I want to, first of all, for the regular followers of the show, you were actually scheduled, I think, the day before your book was releasing, and my little Beju baby had passed away, and so this is a rescheduling of that. But it's actually been a divine blessing because in this process, you've received, you know, thousands of people to respond to your book, to give you feedback, to tell you how your story has changed their life. And, you know, Deborah, I can't imagine that anybody listening today hasn't had some pain, suffering, tragedy. I mean, certainly what you've suffered is something that most of us will not ever experience. But what I love about your faith, your hope, your love, is that you've learned how to reframe these things so it can all be good, so that it can make us better, so that we can ourselves better and the world better in the process with these seven real concepts. Bring the listeners to, you know, what that was like when you were going through this and how this came to you, this idea of I'm going to live in courage and there is a way to reframe things, and I'm going to change my life because you walk your talk.
Well, the first concept in the book is conscious choice, and I always think that if you're human, if you're on this planet for any length of time, you're going to go through tragedy. You're going to have challenges because without them, we don't shift, we don't grow, we don't expand. And these challenges can tear us apart. They can create havoc in our lives, but we can decide how they are going to affect us in the long run. And I always believe there's a silver lining at the end of the journey because we are here to learn. We're here to grow. And when all of this was going on, the first loss that we had was my brother, Tim. And that was so difficult because I'd never really lost anybody before in this way, especially a family member. And, you know, then we lost my daughter. Cody and I lost Ren, our daughter, baby girl, about 3 weeks before delivery. And that was another shock, you know, just trying to deal with losing a sibling and then you lose a child. And, you know, it was just so quickly. And the next year, I mean, it was bam, bam, bam. One year, my brother Ted died. And, you know, I mean, we helped care for my brothers, too, part of the time. And then my brother Ted died. And then my 21-year-old son, Wade, was killed in a car accident. It was a drunk driver. Not him. He was involved in an accident. And, you know, and then a few years later, my father to prostate cancer. So it was unending. And other friends and family at the time as well. And you either have to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and say, I will move on from this, or you fall into deep depression. So I always say that it's wise to go through the stages of grief, whatever those stages are for you, and they're different for everyone according to how you process grief. And once you can move through that, you need to start living again. And that comes into the first concept in the book, which is conscious choice. And you have a choice as how you're going to adapt or how you're going to fold. And I said, I won't stop. You know, I can't. And the best way I can honor their lives is to be happy because that's what love does. Love wants you to be happy. And they loved me and I loved them. And I honor them by choosing to be happy and to go out and speak about living in courage. Because we all need courage in our life. And courage is something that is like a muscle, and it grows the more you use it. It builds momentum. And I've built quite a bit of it going through what I've gone through. And we've all experienced loss. And there's people in other countries, war-torn countries, they lose entire families at a time, people who go through earthquakes. I mean, I don't consider my story a big deal compared to some of these people that just lose so much, their homes, their families, their businesses, everything, all in one moment in time. But they move on. You know, a lot of them get stuck in the depression, and that is a really difficult place to be because it's like being stuck in the quicksand. You can't seem to pull yourself out of it. But I just decided I was going to move on with my life, and I was going to make the conscious choice to do that. And it took steps to change my movie, change my life.
You know, you said a couple things there that really resonated with me. And I, too, having been the sole caregiver for my parents and my grandmother passing away in my arms, being with my mother at Mass General when she passed away from cancer, wasn't with my father, but I did take care of him. You know, there is something about death that gives us that wake-up call. You mentioned you had never experienced that. You know, I always felt, and maybe some of the listeners, too, it's like, well, I believe that's just something that happens to somebody else. But it doesn't really, once that happens, and you are no stranger to death and you face it, and again and again and again you did, and as you said, other people in the country seeing families right away torn, it really gives you that wake-up call to, okay, what is this gift of life? What am I supposed to do with it? I'm not going to be here forever. And in an ironic way, it helps you live. And it seems to me, just like the butterfly story, you know, the butterfly can't get the wings without the pressure of trying to get out of its cocoon. Mm-hmm. So the irony is, if you try to help it get out, you defeat the purpose of it being able to live its life fully. And what you've done so well and so beautifully is you said, you know, yes, I've had these pains and these sorrows, but it's also given me the ability to have courage. It's given me the ability to reframe. It's given me the ability to understand who I am and what I can do and connect with others and help them find love and find these silver linings as you talk about them. So, you know, when you say change your movie, change your life, what do people, for those that haven't gotten the book, Change Your Movie, Change Your Life yet, and if you haven't, you must, because it's on Amazon. It's absolutely beautiful. I'm holding it in my hand right now. How did this come to you about changing, putting the picture in a different frame, which changes the entire picture? How did this come to you to do this? Because the exercises and the examples you give, and I want you to give some, really are very, very powerful that, at least for me, when I was reading it, it was like, wow, I never thought about it that way. I never thought about the possibility of even considering the possibility of it looking this way.
Well, I didn't either. This is an interesting story, because I had written the book, and it was a spiritual book, a bit dry, and I was ready to publish. And I thought it was done. I went in, you know, into my meditation, prayer, you know, sacred space place, and I was instructed that the book was not complete and that there was a section that would be added by my contributing author, Steve Tallamy, and it would be all about nature. And we call it, this is particularly called a short film, Nature Interlude, and it's all about a powerful overview of the seven concepts in relation to Mother Earth and nature. It's almost like a viewing perspective through a different lens, and he wrote beautifully about it in the book, and I think the book's done again, and I don't have a name for the book yet, and I'm in my space again, and I'm sitting there a few months, several months later, maybe even a year, and I hear as clear as we're talking now, okay, the name of the movie, or the name of the book is Change Your Movie, Change Your Life. I said out loud, I go, what? This book is not about the movies. It is now. That's what I heard. It is now. And you're going to write about these seven concepts that you live by, and you are going to create it in a much more interesting format. It will be more readable. Your reading audience will be more engaged, and you will just move forward with the book in a much more expanded way, because there'll be so much you can do with the book. And I was just in shock, because I'm like, what am I going to do now? How am I going to make this about the movies? And then I sat down one day and I wrote seven movie treatments, which are like movie scripts. And it was the same story with two different outcomes, according to the orientation of your conscious choice. So I wrote these stories in an afternoon. And the only one that's real and true is the first one, which is the day we had the phone call that my son was killed in a car accident. And how the two different outcomes would affect my life according to my choices. And the rest all just came flying through me. And then, you know, I started getting movie quotes and movie examples, and it just turned into this fabulous book that I love and I am honored to have written. And in it, I also create my, I have a storyboard for the readers. I have my own personal storyboard, 7 of them, 7 for the readers. I have the movie treatment and movie rewrites of the treatments, and a reel wrap at the end of each concept. So those just kind of morphed into the book, and I just allowed it and created space for this to come through me and to just form in whatever way it needed to. I stepped out of the way a little bit as I was working and taking action, but also allowing the process to flow through me. And it's what you hold in your hand is this book.
And it is beautiful, and I love, you know, and just looking at the picture of that beautiful, you know, golden sunset and the palm trees on the beach and the movie reel, it just, it's absolutely, I mean, just looking at the artwork on the cover gives me a lot of peace and courage. You know, the seven concepts, for those that haven't read the book, and I know you'll all get it, Change Your Movie, Change Your Life, it's on Amazon. I want to read those for people, and I also want to talk about, you know, that first story and the way you did it, that is you walking your talk, and I found that to be very emotional and very moving. Because you did have the two different outcomes. You had the one that was kind of, you know, very down and despair, and that one was real, and that could be where, you know, you might have been, but you didn't stay there. And then the one that you reframed, where, as your own, as you say it, you're the movie, the great actor, the actress, the director, the producer, you know, you're doing all the parts, how that, you know, ended up being a completely different possibility. And it really is very interactive because you give the reader a chance to say, okay, now you're going to do your part in it so that you can apply these, because we learn by doing. But the first concept of being a conscious choice, the second concept being wisdom, the third concept being love, the fourth concept being purity, the fifth concept being concentrated illumination, the sixth concept being peace, and the seventh concept being rhythm. Tell the readers, you know, you're not giving away too much, but let them know, what was it on that first conscious choice, how you rewrote the script with you and your husband and that situation with your daughter? How did you, what were those two choices, and what do you ask the reader to do to realize that, you know what, you too can do this?
Yes, I thought this one was important to put in the first concept of conscious choice, because at 5 o'clock in the morning when we received the phone call that my son had been killed in the car accident in Canada, you can't imagine this happening. I mean, after losing both my brothers and our baby girl, my son from my first marriage when I lived in Canada, he'd been living up there, and him and his girlfriend had moved to Vancouver, and it was right when they had moved there. Just this happened right away, and we received this call. And I'd never been in shock before. Shock is still such a foreign thing to me because of the way it affects you. And I explain it in the book, how it feels. But it just... You can't even comprehend. It's like you're just getting hit with a hammer over and over, you know. And I thought, you know, in the first concept, the first story I tell is where depression sets in, and I'm unable to function on any level. You know, and the days and the weeks drag on and to become months and years, and life loses its luster. And there seems to be no hope of feeling normal again. And I know many people feel this way that have gone through loss. And it doesn't matter if it's a family member, a pet. It doesn't. Loss is a loss, and it's just as painful no matter what the loss is. And so I talk about tears flow endlessly, guilt, self-pity, hopelessness become close friends, My marriage becomes lifeless, and I see no hope of it changing. And my greatest fear is to be hurt again by loving so deeply. And the marriage breaks up. And in the second one, you know, again, you go through shock and you can't believe it's happening, but where to turn, how to function. My husband and I, you know, how do we get through this? And we make a conscious choice to find a way out of the despair. And we believe that love is greater than even this situation. So we decide to comfort each other and talk about how to get through the loss. We ask ourselves important questions like, what would my son who loves me as I love him want most for me? And that is knowing the love we all carry for each other is on a deep soul level, and that the only answer is that he would want us to live a happy life, celebrating his life as a gift, grateful for the time we had together. So we choose in this marriage to define our life by handling this loss with courage, strength, and peace. Our marriage grows stronger, we become more resilient, and we realize that handling hardships is something that we have been through, but it's changed our perspective from within. And we just grow our courage and strength muscles, and we find the silver lining and go out into the world courageously helping others through the process of loss and grief. And at the end of the first one, it says fade to black, and at the end of the second movie treatment, it says fade to light. And each story is like that. There's one about a dancer, a gang member, a young family whose father's left them, and the young man, as he grows up, doesn't feel he's worthy of love and doesn't know how to be a father. There's one about a young girl in high school wanting to be like the popular girls. You know, there's all these different stories in there that I think people can relate to and maybe look at making a different choice.
Yeah, and, you know, you don't think, I know for a fact, if you've accomplished this. As a culture, we love movies. We love television shows. I mean, Game of Thrones, you name it. I mean, everybody is so involved with these movies and characters. And what do? We lose ourselves, and we identify with a certain people and their emotions, and then it forces us to look at ourselves and say, wow, something has just come to life inside me, this emotion that maybe I didn't know I had or maybe was subconsciously withheld. And because we watch that movie, all of a sudden it becomes alive. And in that life, it forces us and begs the question to ask us, you know, what am I feeling? What is this telling me? What am I learning about myself? Do I want to feel this? Do I not want to feel this? Is there another choice? I mean, all of these stories that you share and these concepts, I think they do that. They, as I was reading them and knowing you, having the privilege of knowing you and Cody, you know, this idea that, wow, I am seeing something of myself in these stories, and I'm becoming more alive by getting, you know, into the characters and into the emotions. So, you know, a lot of self-help books and motivational books, I think they try to say, okay, do X and then you'll get Y and Z, do A and you'll get B and C. What I like about your style is there is no right or wrong to you. What you say is, you know what? We don't know what the result or answer will be, but if we do this work together, it will be, you know, the same result, peace, happiness, and love. And you thread everything in the ribbon of love. Everything is about love. Everything, I think that you wrote this book out of love. You loved your family members that passed. You loved the memory of them. You loved your friends. You love the people you haven't met yet. You love the listeners today. I know that you do.
Yes, I do.
And yes, you do. And if you left planet Earth today, you would be okay with it because you're very much in the present moment. You're very much in gratitude. You're very much in peace with who you are. You look at the bright side of every single person, even when they're not so bright and not so nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've seen this firsthand with you, and it's in your writing. And, you know, you've taught me a lot through these questions. You know, you really have a way of asking questions that force an answer that, you know, for me is different from Michelle or Richard or Sally or Sue. But we all want the same thing. Speak to, and you know, I would love for you to share maybe something from the book, or I know you've given a lot of talks and you've, you know, had a big event where you had dozens of people at this beautiful California Laguna Beach area. But maybe there's something that's coming into your heart that you would like to share to illustrate that point.
Well, to me, love is the most powerful force in the universe. I mean, it's the essence of who we are. And I believe that our journey is to take us back to the heart of love. I just recently did an interview on a show that you actually recommended, Sherry Edwards, who measures your voice and the frequencies in your voice. And I don't know if you've heard the show, but she, unbeknownst to me, measured my voice while I was on the show, if it was okay, if they share what she had found. And I said, yes, it was. And she has it's a computer-generated program. I don't have anything
right.
to do with
Sherry,
it.
Right,
like,
Sherry, I'll just do a pause. And everybody, if you're interested in listening to that show with Sherry Edwards, you can go to DeborahOakland.com, and she has a listing of all the shows she's recently been on. And Sherry Edwards is the founder of the Bioacoustic Sound Institute, and it is an amazing software. So I just wanted to let the listeners know that. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted them to be able to know that they could listen to that.
Well, she kind of threw me into a shock, you know, because I was very honored that she did this with Richard O and Talk to Me Guy as we were doing the show. And she said that when she measures people, when they speak from the heart, and this isn't to brag, this is nothing about that. This is just because it made it all make sense, all of this that I've been through. It made me understand on a deeper level. A normal is a 42, and I was a 139. And she said
blowing
she's never seen
the charts out of the water, people.
She said she's never seen it, and it was the most authentic heart rate. You know, how I speak is coming from the heart. And I was so worried about trying to memorize things or go out and speak. And she said, no. You are not to do that. You are. You come from the heart when you speak. That is where you are to speak from. And it made such an impact on me that she said, this isn't coming from me. This is from you. This is generated from your voice, from your frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just blown away by it. And it really helped me quell some things that had been bothering me in my entire life about memory. Me trying to memorize and speak from memory, and I've never been able to do it, but when I speak from my heart, everything comes together, and it just really resonated with me, and I said, I finally get it. That is where I am to speak from and write from, and that's where my book came from the heart, because it is all about love, and I couldn't not write this book. It came... you know, there's no way I couldn't have written it. It just had to come out. And I used to worry about what people would think or say. Now I'm like, if you don't like it, don't read it. If you like it and it resonates with you, I hope it makes a difference in your life. It made a big difference in my life. and I'm getting great feedback. So I just know the book has wings to fly, and now I'm resting as my book takes its course.
Well, you know, you said there were a lot of things that I just learned in what you said. One of them, you know, one of the things you talk about, and I think that a lot of the listeners here are really into this belief that, yes, there is a mind-body-spirit connection, you know, and that this software program that Sherry has is basically, you know, you're taking the DNA strands we do in our genes, right? Everybody's so big into this DNA testing now to find out what their, am I Scottish or Irish or Italian or Scandinavian? And that, you know, we think we're one thing, and then you get your blood tested or whatever, and they do the chromosomes, and you end up being something completely different than you thought. If I see another one of those commercials, I might actually send away for it. But anyway, you know, the idea that your voice, you know, you have a unique thumbprint, unlike 7 billion people on the planet. You have a unique voice tone, unlike 7 billion people on the planet. You know, that combination of who you look. Yeah, we all do. So it makes sense to me, the work that Sherry has, and the fact that, you know, she was reading a newsletter, I think, promoting your book, and she said, oh, I've got to have her on the radio show. And that, I think, is how it came to be. And it is fascinating to me, the science of that. And, you know, you're in the hundreds, and most people are in the 40s. You know, it just sort of backs up the idea that you have, through your pain and your suffering, and I don't know what you were like before these events because I didn't know you then, but I know who you are now. And I think the hope that all of us can take is, okay, you had some hellish experiences. I got my own sandwich that, you know, isn't very tasty that I eat on a regular basis myself. We all do, everybody listening. We all get something, you know, the humble pie, the suffering sandwich. It doesn't matter, you know. But what you've done is these experiences have made you better. They've taken the ego, put it aside. Only can you come from a place of love and saying, you know what, if you love the book, it's great. If you don't love the book, it's great. If you love me, it's great. If you don't love me, it's great. The point of the matter is your happiness is not coming from other people's minds. You have healthy love and respect for yourself, and you have peace knowing who you are, and you don't do the compare and despair. And I think that that's what these 7 real concepts in changing the movie in your life gives you the understanding to really discover yourself. And in discovering yourself, you can have peace with yourself. And in that peace, you can give it to somebody else. You know, I think that I was just going to take something from actually chapter 3, towards that end, that you write, love is the essence of who we are. Connecting with the love in our heart and soul is the most powerful force in the universe, capable of transforming anything. Keyword, transforming. The best thing is when we are committed to loving ourselves, the love we find to complement our life is that much better, stronger, and lasting. Opening our hearts to love is like opening the windows in a dark room and allowing the light to shine in. There are corners of our lives that may be lying in the darkness. We control whether these areas will remain dark forever or if they will be flooded with light. The simple fact that each one of us has that ability to easily turn that switch on, to open that window, to me is so simple and so powerful, yet your stories demonstrate how it's worked for you in your life. Talk to somebody out there right now who's maybe feeling like, you know what, Deborah Oakland, I don't know how you did what you did, but I've got something worse. You know, I'm going through a divorce, or I'm getting ready to lose my house, or, you know, I don't know if I should marry this person, or I'm trying to change my career. You know, how am I going to open this window? How do I get the strength to do that and trust that, you know, by revealing it, I will be healing it? Because our natural tendency, I think, is to run away. And what your concepts do is say, lean into it. don't run away.
Yes. Yes, because the same situations will come up over and over if you try and push them away and ignore them. You're just going to repeat patterns until you get the lesson. And anyone going through challenges, going through difficult times, you have to realize that you build momentum by your thoughts, feelings, and actions. And whatever's showing up in your life is the movie that you've written, produced, you know, you've directed it, you've produced, you've had co-actors and co-stars in it. Who are you allowing in your life? What kind of influence do they have on you? Are they running the show? Are you running the show? Are you the director of your movie? Are you allowing someone else to direct it? What actions and what steps are you taking each day, each moment? And I talk about now, the now moment. We've all heard the book, The Now, N-O-W, Now. And I call it your naturally occurring wonder. And in one of my quotes, I say, absorb yourself in each moment, slowly savoring the gifts of life, remembering miracles are available at every moment. Your naturally occurring wonder exists now. And when you're in your now moments and you can be true to yourself and listen to that inner voice of power, love, wisdom, and power that is within you. It's not out there in the world. It's in you. And when you can connect with that source, whatever name you have for that source, it's all the same. It's same energy. It's love. And when you connect with that and make conscious choices that support your life versus destroy your life, and you continually make these conscious choices that support you, you will build momentum and your life will change. You can't just walk up to someone and say, be happy, when they're absolutely miserable or depressed. They don't even know where you're coming from. It makes no sense. They cannot understand you. They look at you like you've got three eyeballs, you know, like, what are you talking about? You don't even know my situation. But what they can do is do one thing a day that brings them joy. Or think about one thing. Think about holding a puppy, and a cute little puppy, and it's nuzzling into your neck. Think about something that makes you happy. Do something that brings you a little bit of joy until you can pull yourself step by step up the ladder and recreate the movie of your life. And it can take a long time. It can take months or years. It could happen in an instant. It depends on the amount of work that you're doing and how quickly you connect with that source inside yourself that can shift everything. Because no one else can do it for you.
But, you know, the gentle, loving way with your compassion that takes the ego aside and says, you know what, I don't have to be attached to a result. I just have to do the work in the present moment. And I have to trust God, universe, angels, family that's passed, whoever, whatever, you know, is going to lead me to the next right step. And that's, you know, you talk about that bridge to freedom. I feel like you have to walk across that one step at a time. And that's something that I see you do so well, because there are a lot of people, and a lot of days it's hard for me to just get along with myself. And, of course, I'm one of those people that has that, you know, it suffers most at times that depressive, you know, just depression. It's just I have a lot of compassion for people with depression. But, you know, it may be that we all have a natural tendency to do stinking thinking or depression. It doesn't matter. What you're saying is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your natural tendency is to do. What matters is that you make a choice to intercept it and realize that you always have a choice. And in that choice, you're going to discover those new ways of being, you know, doing, being, but you don't get ahead of yourself. How do you have that patience to not be connected with a specific result, because you're very, very humble in your ability to say, you know what, I'm going to do the best I can, and then I'm going to let it go. And then I'm just going to trust the process.
I trust the process. It's like an adventure for me. I look for clues along the way because they're everywhere. And it's like when you're a child and you're on an adventure, and I don't try and force it. I'm not one of those writers that can sit down and write so many words a day, so many hours a day. I can't write unless I feel an energy comes through me that I have to get to the computer and write, or I have to get a pen and write something down. I allow all of this to process through me. I don't try and force it. Not that writers force it, but I have a completely different way of functioning in my life. And I allow life to flow through me, and I set my intentions, and I keep my energy very positive, and I set my intentions. But I also know that there things come to me, and I allow them to show up. Throughout my book is a perfect example. I mean, every person showed up at the perfect time and place. If I would try to force it, none of it would have happened. I just allowed it to happen and put together what came to me as it came to me and through me, if that makes any sense. I just trust the process. Know when to swim and when to float. I always say, know when to swim. You're out there swimming for your life, but you got to know when to stop and float. You just need to know when to rest. There's a time to go and there's a time to rest and let go, let God, you know?
Yeah, you know, and I love that. And I think that we can all learn. we all need to learn that. I love that. Swim or float. You know, in the idea that the authenticity of you being aware as an active participant in your life is a good lesson that this book teaches, that you teach, and I want to make sure that everybody knows that they can go to DeborahOakland.com, Change Your Movie, Change Your Life. And there's so many great resources there. But
my newsletter,
I think
they can sign up for.
Absolutely.
My monthly
newsletter
is there as well.
Your monthly newsletter, I sign up for it. I love it. I love, love, love it. And you do a great job with that. I love the pictures you find for that as well. So you can sign up for Living in Courage monthly newsletter right there at DeborahOakland.com. You know, the authenticity, I think the idea that, you know, people can spot a fraud. You know, they can tell when you're being fake. It doesn't matter if you're how you are, but you want to be authentic. And you talk about, you know, that idea of purity, and that that is going to help you. Like one area, well, I'll just read it, what you said. Purity is a quality that can help set you free from limitation and enhance every area of your life. I think that's what you were talking about earlier. You know, you fix one, you take one step, you fix one area of your life. You don't think it's necessarily what you want, but it ends up being what you need because you fix one area of your life. You fix a lot of others automatically by default. So then getting back to what you wrote, it says your ability to absorb – sorry, I had to have the little commentary in there. Your ability to absorb and reflect light gives you the opportunity to become a mirror displaying your shining brilliance. You are powerful, and by feeling the connection to your strength and power, you can defy weakness and powerlessness, striving to be your best every day. Concentrated illumination is concentrated energy infused with light, and that would be you. This puts you in the director's chair of your movie. Your use of this concentrated energetic light will determine the outcome of your life. Try some spiritual sunbathing, and while you're soaking up the light, use your thought to create the life you want to live. I love that. I'm all about, I love that spiritual sunbathing, spiritual sunbathing, spiritual suntan. We'll take it, we'll take it. What surprised you most about somebody talking to you, reading the book, or somebody that you met? What surprised you the most about somebody, you know, who applied, an unexpected surprise of somebody saying, you know what, I applied these concepts, and this is what happened to me in my life. This was my before and after. This is something that I never expected. to get out of reading your book or to getting your newsletter or listening to you. And it's really given me an epiphany. Do you have a favorite story?
Wow. You know, so many people have been contacting me lately. My friend just lost his father, his stepmother, and his grandmother in the last year. His father just died unexpectedly, and he is someone I never thought would pick up my book and read it. And I think he read it on the plane over to take care of his dad's businesses and home and whatnot. And he texted me, and he said, "Your book is making a big difference. It's really helping me right now." And I thought that if I wrote the book for one person, it's worth it. I'm getting a lot of feedback. Nora was talking. One of the comments that I have on Amazon, which I have some great comments, she's talking about teaching your children to grow up according to these foundational principles and concepts that I write. Because I've been living these throughout my life. These are the concepts I've lived by throughout my life, and they pulled me through what I went through. And if they hadn't, I would have found something else. But they did. And so I needed to write about them and share them, because I say if the belief system you have does not pull you through when you go through horrific challenges, find one that does, find a new one. And, you know, it's like you need to find something that works for you and with you and supports you. And these concepts supported me. And I know they will support anyone. And the seventh concept is rhythm, which pulls all of the other seven concepts together.
What do you want people to know about that, Deborah?
Well, rhythm, think about rhythm simply being the rhythm of our heartbeat, our breath, our life. You have the in-breath and out-breath of God. You've got the ocean flowing in and out. Everything is rhythm. Everything we do, nature is a perfect example of rhythm. And so I used rhythm to pull all of these other six concepts together, but you have to get the book and read it to find out.
That's very true. But, you know, I think that that idea of rhythm, and rhythm has what? And this is one of the things that you talk about, too, is the concept of peace. Rhythm has peace. You know, I think of if I want to go to my happy place, it's, I'm listening to the waves on the beach. Peace, beach, serenity, sand. Give me some of that with that spiritual sunbathing you're talking about. You know, there's that rhythm and that peacefulness. And, you know, that the idea that you think of peace, you think of something that, you know, you're receiving. But you talk about peace being active and magnetic. And
that's our action hero.
Yes, at peace. I was just getting ready to read that sentence. Peace is our action hero, a concentrated activity bringing harmony into every space it occupies. It takes the power of our attention to hold peace in a world that still is less than peaceful. Peace is active, and if we wish to have it, we must participate with it. By becoming a living conductor of peace, not only will you be a blessing to the world, but you will also be blessed. Peace is power. And, you know, that rhythm of peacefulness, that ability to realize that, okay, if everything is happening to me has love as part of its equation, then I'm going to be able to find love in everything. And and that is where, to me, you know, it's like glasses. It's like those God glasses, right? I've said that before. You know, you have this vision to just be so grateful, Miss Deborah Oakland, grateful. And in you finding the gratitude, you help each one of us find the gratitude. And when we're in gratitude and love, you feel better. You know, it's like you smile, you build the endorphins, you feel better. You know, and it's
gratitude,
not Pollyannish. But you say it's active. It's active.
Yeah, peace is not weak or powerless, and neither are we. So choosing peace, taps you directly into your inner power station, like I say in the book. It's our action hero, a concentrated activity bringing harmony into everything. And, you know, it takes the power of our attention to hold peace in a world that is less than peaceful, like I talk about in the book, because our world is not very peaceful. And it
not
takes
right now,
your
especially.
Power of attention. No. No, it is not. And peace is so important. And gratitude is key in everything. But you have to ask yourself, if you feel like reacting, what's triggering this action inside of me? You know, and what you've heard the old saying, what you resist persists.
Mm-hmm.
So the more we fight against something or someone, the slower we move forward towards any sort of a resolution with them or with ourselves. See, we have to be responsible for our reactions and our actions. Are you reacting or are you responding? You know, if you create a difficult situation in your life, you need to find a workable solution that targets peace and brings harmony to every area, you know, to the table. If you're working with someone at work, you know, how are you going to bring a peaceful, workable solution to the table, you know? And I talk about in the book, like, if something that you want to react to is in your face, try and wait 3 days. Just try and wait a little bit of time, because as you know, things mellow out. You cool your jets, you know? Everybody has an opportunity to gain a new perspective, and then you have a much better outcome at the end of the day. The peace is so active and powerful to me.
You know, and I love that, because, you know, you can never, there's one thing I can never have too much of, and that would be peace, you know. And peace is not boring. Peace is something that, you know, in fact, as I've gotten older, you know, I just don't have that tolerance for all the drama, you know. It's like, oh, please, you know, I have to be really careful who I associate with, what I listen to, what I watch, what I read, because it just seems like, you know, I've become more sensitive. But you have a great way of giving us our own answers that we didn't even know we already had through the questions that are in the book. And one of the things that I really love is that you make us as a reader sit down and say, okay, you're going to be honest with yourself and you're going to get the answers that you need and you're going to learn about yourself, and it might be a little difficult, but if you exercise these muscles, you're going to be stronger. So if you have a habit, you know, you give the what, when, why, where, and who, and, you know, you ask the question, what do I gain from whatever that is, and you have a line, you know, when did whatever become a habit? So just fill in the blanks, people, whatever you got. We all want to dump the junk of something. Why do I choose blank? Where do I think blank will get me in life? Okay, because really there has to be a secondary gain or we wouldn't keep doing it. So there has to be, whether we think there's a payoff or not, there has to be. Otherwise, we wouldn't keep doing it, because nobody's walking around with a gun to my head. You know, I'm with myself 24/7 for how many years I've been on planet Earth. So I really have to look at myself as the one constant in my life, not anybody else, anything else. Everything else has changed. Mm. I'm the constant, me and God. And then you say, well, who are my role models and are they successful? Is something blank really something I want in my life? I mean, there are so many great questions in this book to lead to those new answers that it's just unbelievable. I mean, it's just a real work of art to me. And I know that you have many other books, I'm sure, that are going to be birthed. But this is a work. This is a labor of love. This is you being as transparent, putting your heart on your sleeve, and really sharing your experience from the core and essence of your own soul and spirit. And I think that's why it's so good and why it's become an international bestseller. But what do you think, you know, talk to the people about these the exercises of the W's, because I love those.
Okay. Well, what I try and do, what I attempt to do, is guide people back in to themselves, because the answers lie within, right? I always say, if you're with a counselor or a coach or someone that is trying to tell you what to do and tell you who you are and what you should and should not be doing, and it's never nice to shit on anybody, I think it's better to guide people back to source, to self. So sometimes the answer lies in the question, as I say in the book. And mm-hmm. when you take the time to filter an occurrence or a piece of news through the W's, the right response usually becomes obvious. So I find it beneficial to find a positive replacement for any habits you desire to break free of. And you know, grab an affirmation. You know, one that I say is, I say yes to life and life says yes to me. Or everything I need is here for me now in this moment. My purpose reveals itself to me in perfect timing. I am the master of my life, and it unfolds exactly as I direct it. I trust in my higher power, which is inside me. As I connect with my source, I become a magnet for whatever you want to say, a magnet for abundance, because we live in an abundant universe. People get stuck up on the thought of money, which is fine. It's great. Prosperity, all of that wealth. But abundance is everywhere. And when you say, I am abundance, I allow abundance into my life, why have I not been choosing abundance? Where is abundance? But here it is. It's right here. It's everywhere. It's in the trees. It's in the plants. It's in the people, in the building, in the sky, in the earth. I choose abundance. You'd be surprised what starts flowing into your life. And so the W's are very important to ask yourself. You know, it's, and you can rephrase those. You know, the what, when, why, where, who, you know, I mean, you can go round and round with that all day long and rephrase them and ask yourself different questions. But it's really about asking yourself these questions, inquire into yourself, why are you doing what you're doing? Who is it supporting? Is it supporting you, or is it an idea of someone else? And what they think you should be, are you supporting that idea, or are you being authentic? Are you living in integrity? Are you really being true to yourself and your path? We each have a gift to share in this world that no one else can deliver. And when, once we really go in and start spending time trusting ourselves and feeling safe within our own inner power, love, wisdom, and power, I always say, then it will all will be revealed to us. We need to direct our power. It's in us. It's not out there. And we each need to direct our own power, our own movie, our own life.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that for me, you know, if the choice is I can have the peaceful life film or the conflicted life, I'm choosing to write the script and star in the peaceful life. And I love how you just give us such a great, fun way of looking at life and reframing things with these seven real concepts. And the book is doing great, and it's just, it's been a amazing bestseller in so many different countries. For somebody that wants to get your newsletter and get the book again, or maybe we have somebody that's a radio host that would like you to be on their radio show or do guest blog posts, you know, somebody wants to hire you for
podcast,
speaking.
I love it. Yep. I'm here.
Where do they do that?
Just go to DeborahOakland.com and you can leave a message there for me. You can contact me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Google+. I'm everywhere. Under Deborah Oakland.
You are.
E-B-R-A.
E-B-R-A. Ubiquitous. I think that's the word. I love it.
But I have
well,
to say, Deb Scott, I have to say this. You inspire me so much. And I love your book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue. And I've given it to a few friends who, you know, have had different issues in their lives, and you inspire me a great deal, and I'm just really honored to be on your show and to be your friend.
Oh my gosh, well, I'm feeling the group hug the loving group yeah. hug, because girlfriend, love you to the moon and back, as we say. You know, well, it's, you know, this is the wonderful thing about life. And, you know, I think that God gives us our friends. We don't pick them. And, you know, certainly you've inspired me. We all help each other. We're not finished yet. And, you know, the listeners, I'm so excited that we've all had this time together to learn and grow, share, shine. And I know that, you know, you're going to continue to be a blessing in the world. And I'm very, very, very excited for how well your book is doing. So get the book, everybody.
You.
Change your movie, Change Your Life by Deborah Oakland. Get the Living Encourage newsletter. I get it every month. I learn in it. And Deborah Oakland is a real person. And she does comment on Facebook. She comments on Twitter. She takes each and every person that God presents in her path as a precious jewel. And if you talk to Deborah Oakland, you'll feel like you're the only person in the world. And I say that from the heart because I've experienced it myself. So please connect with her. And what I like to ask everybody, because as you know, Miss Deborah, this show is brought to you by you. Please, if you've enjoyed this show, share this with a friend. We can all keep the show going and growing. I can't bring you great guests like Deborah Oakland if you don't share the show. So please just send out a sweet tweet, share it on Facebook, tell your friend about it, pop it if you have a newsletter. That's the way that we can keep the positive energy going. There's nothing more important than love. You are going to love, love, love Deborah Oakland's book. And thank you so much for being with us today. I loved listening to you and learning something new all the time. And that high vibration voice frequency, I think that that was some sound healing right there for all of us. So thank you again. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today. So go connect with Deborah Oakland. Go find her there at Living Encourage. Thank you, my friend. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.